Check out our website at www.thefantasyamateurs.com. On this edition of the Nasty Cast, we discuss replacing Giancarlo, Brad Miller's recent surge, Vincent Velasquez's innings limit, and enjoy a nice side salad with Dansby Swanson and Jeff Hoffman. We round out the show by picking Nathan's brains in the top five Olympic bubble sports.
What is this, a fantasy baseball podcast?
Yes!
That's all we talk about on this podcast is interesting things. Yeah. Jesse, go toss a potato.
Here lies Joe. He died wearing braces.
Be interesting when she has her heavy flow at times.
It's not Nick Nolte.
That damn dirty ape.
You're going to blow Arkansas?
The Hindenburger cheese.
We follow the golden rule.
I'm in a league with the Pope.
Could have been an accountant.
Replace the baseballs with hand grenades.
Thor, he's like Jesus, but for people from Norway.
Eating ain't cheating. Hello and welcome to episode 92 of the Nasty Cast, Fantasy Baseball Podcast, brought to you by thefantasyamateurs.com. I am Nathan Dockin. You can find me on Twitter at Nathan Dockin, and I am joined today by a man who would come home with the gold if cutting glass with man nips was an Olympic sport. Jesse Jordan, what's up?
I would also cross the finish line first in a 250-pound plus 100-meter dash, too, based on... Nipples.
That's right. It's when it's a neck and neck race, it all comes down to who puffs their chest out the farthest, and therefore, subsequently, who has the pointiest, longest man nips.
And I would like to say I would have to put on some pounds to get to 250. Not a lot, but I just want to make sure that I clarify.
We got to come in with that weight class.
Yes, but I'm quicker than I look too. So that's. That really helps too. So
yeah, that's what your wife says.
Yeah. Well, with that, I guess we'll introduce our other host.
Crickets.
Joe, are you there?
Nope. Oh. Joe is gone once again, and in fact, we didn't think that this podcast was going to be made this week, but here we are making a little podcast, baby. You and me, Jesse. How does that make you feel?
It makes me feel good. It's Friday. It's romantic. It's a one-on-one session, and we decided to take some time out of our Friday to make sure our listeners got to hear our beautiful voices. I guess would be the word. I don't know. I don't really have a very good adjective or anything to throw in there. So.
I think that's as good as it gets.
We should start taking applications for another Joe, because I seriously think he's on his deathbed this time, and we may need to replace him. And it might be nice just to have another backup, where we can just be like, "Hey, you're on call. You're up."
We really do need to get somebody who's on call for Joe, because he seems to these things seem to happen to him.
So send a application in. And all you got to do is put the email subject, send it to thefantasyamateurs@gmail.com with a subject of Joe application.
Yes, and you don't necessarily have to look like you're dying like Joe does, or sound like you. And it's the damnedest thing for people out there. We joke about, Joe missing shows all the time. But this time, it's the damnedest thing. He's got the hiccups in it. They just don't go away without medicine for he's been hiccuping for a week straight. And this happened to him last year too, because of some sort of stomach thing or whatever. So basically he's not super sick, but there's no way that he could do a podcast because it would drive everybody bananas. You would not want to listen to him. I talked to him for 5 minutes in the morning. I'm like, my God, I would go insane if that was happening to me.
Yeah. I definitely wouldn't come to work.
Yeah, so be sure to tweet Joe all your well wishes at Roto Joto. Oh wait, no, that's not it. Never mind. I don't know what it is then.
Roto Joto. And if it's not Roto Joto, wait till it is before you follow him.
Exactly. Yeah, or ever tweet at him. So, you know, if you wish us well, you can tweet us that too, at Fantasy Amateurs. Or, like Jesse just said, you can email us, thefantasyamateurs@gmail.com, if you want to replace Joe, or if you have anything else to say for that matter. And also, if you want to cover your beautiful man nips, you can buy a Nasty Cast t-shirt at thefantasyamateurs.com. And also, please rate and review the podcast on iTunes. It really helps us climb that board and give us a little more visibility, some more downloads and whatnot, which that actually kind of leads into the next thing that I wanted to mention. This time of year, really see the downloads start to fall off as everybody kind of moves towards football. And, you know, we've covered football a little bit on two of the last three episodes. But if you're new to the show, if you're unfamiliar with the way we do things, we start up the show in January and we do a ton of preseason stuff leading up to all the drafts and everything. And we cut off the season early because we still go 9 months, but we're going to be done. We've only got three shows left. We don't do September because really there's not a lot to talk about. And honestly, most people tune out. Like, we'll still be available if you want to tweet at us, if you have any questions. It's not like we're actually going anywhere. We just, everybody kind of switches to football. So we quit early and start focusing towards next year. We will have podcasts through Labor Day, and then we'll do a finale episode in October upon the conclusion of the season so we can go over all our Wendy's back bets and see who won that. And of course there's our annual rap battle to wrap up the season.
Yeah.
Have you been working on your flow, Jesse? Because last year was pretty bad.
We gotta
find rhythm.
We're gonna do a Skype cast for that one. And then you can't prove whether it's live or not. And then with my mad editing skills, I'm gonna kill it this year. I'm also gonna bring cheating. I'm going to bring Trucker Jim. I'm going to feature Trucker Jim in my rap battle this year. So
Trucker Jim?
Trucker Jim is coming. You've never heard of Trucker Jim, you better YouTube him. He's
okay.
You might spend a while because he's buried deep into the world of YouTube. And he might not even be released on YouTube yet for all I know. But he's coming to help me rap in the rap battle. So
sounds like a dangerous fellow. I'm intimidated.
Yes, you should be. I'm excited for the rap battle. I almost forgot about it until you mentioned that part of it. So
once we get done, as soon as I don't have to prepare for these podcasts once a week, you know, once the calendar flips over to September, got to start writing down my rhymes. Figuring out.
Amen.
You know what we're gonna do.
I was gonna add about the football stuff. Is I'm sure we'll be tweeting out football stuff. I personally will probably tweet out football stuff as the season goes on and things like that too. So, So if you want to chat football, I like to chat football. So,
yeah, that's one thing too. Like if we do start to get enough of a following with the Nasty Cast Fantasy Baseball podcast, and we start hearing cries for people who would like to hear us do football, we're huge football fans and stuff. So if it would be worth it for us, then we would consider doing a football show as well. So if you would be interested in that, let us know. Oh, and then before we move on, of course, Joe did have a message for the Nasty Cast's faithful. And he says to tell all of the thousands of Joe fans that I'll be back someday. And tell the rest of them off. On to the news.
The one constant through all the years, Ray, has been baseball.
And we're back on
Jesus,
episode
92. Hey,
I was driving down the road with my breeze in the road. I had seven women on my mind. One that wanted to hold me. One that wanted to kill me. One that said she's a friend of mine. So take it easy. Take it easy. I don't remember how the song goes. I should have had the lyrics here. But
that's a great song. No, that was pretty good.
Warming up my trucker vocals. But anyways, what do you do when you take it easy? Well, you take it twice, but that's not the point here. I was trying to segue into replacing Giancarlo, which might not be that easy. So what would you do to replace Giancarlo Stanton is now on the DL for the rest of season. So what are we doing, Nate?
Yeah. well, the first thing that you should do, of course, is draw a warm bath and slit your wrists, because that's what we do when we lose such high caliber talent, such as Giancarlo Stanton. We've established that over the last couple of years. You know, and this kind of has me thinking about his value moving forward, because he's a guy who basically has consistently found the disabled list year after year. I just don't think that I'm going to be in on him moving forward, because I don't know if his draft stock is necessarily going to plummet that much, you know, because everybody just looks at him and says, well, he's got the most power in the game, which, you know, led me to believe in the preseason and really any season moving forward that he can hit 50 home runs in a season. That's still on the table, but he just can't stay healthy. And I think I need to see a full season from him before I'm going to invest like a second round draft in him, which is, as far as I'm guessing, is probably where he's going to go next year. But if I'm going to try to find some guys to replace him with right now, and you know, we're obviously, we meant to podcast earlier in the week, Monday or Tuesday, it just didn't happen. So people have probably already found some replacements by this point. But these are some names that I would be looking at that are really, really low owned. So unless you play in a pretty deep league, these are guys who are going to be on the waiver wire. First guy I looked at was Keon Broxton of the Brewers. He's only 15% owned on Yahoo. He's you know, got a lot of swing and miss, and not the most exciting long-term prospect for me, but he's got 9 steals in the last 2 weeks and a 5.11 OBP. So he's a guy who I think you could just ride while he's hot, if you know what I mean. And then Eddie Rosario, of course, our beloved twin. He's, since his recall, he's been actually really good. He still will not draw a walk, just refuses to walk, but, you know, still a 392 OBP. And of course I use OBP for these because I was looking up these guys in the prestigious Dynasty it wasn't that one. It was Dynasty Guys Podcast League, which is OBP. I almost lied.
Just as prestigious.
Yes, that's true. I would say equally as prestigious. But yeah, 10% on Freddy Rosario. He's just been hitting everything since he got recalled, and I do think that that's something that could still fall off at any point. You know, like what happened earlier in the season, where he was just swinging at everything, and he went, you know, he didn't learn anything at AAA. Essentially, he went down. He didn't draw any walks, and they just called him back up because Byron Buxton was dog crap. But anyway, Eddie Rosario is 10% owned. Better in average leagues and OBP leagues, but only 1 steal, but 2 home runs in the last 2 weeks. He does have some good speed, so you could expect more than 1 stolen base every 2 weeks, I feel like. And he will hit the odd bomb. And that Twins lineup is not as bad as it was in the first half of the season, so he'll be in for some runs scored as well. And then the third guy that I found is a guy who we've talked about on the show previously, but still is only 19% owned in Yahoo leagues, and that's Travis Jankowski. 11 runs scored in the last 2 weeks, 3 stolen bases, 407 OBP. That's what you're getting him for, is the speed, you know. So unfortunately, a lot of these guys aren't going to be huge bashers. You know, these are more speed guys, but you're just not going to find Giancarlo power on the waiver wire, you know. So it's, I think you just try to find what you can get. Maybe the next guy, Brad Miller, is still available in your league.
Speaking of Brad Miller, holy hell, it's time for some dude feud.
Woo!
I'm the dude. So that's what you call me, you know? That or his dudeness or duder or, you know, El Duderino.
All right, Nathan, we're going to play a little dude feud. We got, Brad Miller on the board, and we are going to figure out where you're going. And we like to start at the top and take it, you know, start at the top, now we're here. So...
Jonathan By the Pilar. Way, I don't know what Brad Miller's ownership percentage is, but I guarantee it's probably over 60% in Yahoo. So that was sort of just a segue rather than actual hashtag analysis.
74% in Yahoo. So
okay, yeah, there you go.
Yeah, most likely already owned.
But should even be higher, yeah, unless you're in like a dead league.
Yeah, amen. So, all right, so let's just grab. Currently, the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 9, 10. We're going to start with Corey Seager. He's about 11th, roughly, according to Yahoo, the old Yahoo current rankings.
Okay, so this is for next year?
Yep, this is for next year.
All right, yeah, I'm definitely going to Seager. He's actually one of the, I think he's like top five in WAR on FanGraphs, top five or 10. He's been ridiculous this year, and really sort of, I feel like he hasn't got a ton of pub either. Okay. You know, not like a ton of pubs. He's just been really steady all season long.
I just dropped down the list a little ways and grabbed a random dude. So that's where I went. Brad Miller is actually sitting at 13th currently in the Yahoo shortstop rankings. So how about we go a little bit down further?
He's got, 25 bombs now, so.
Yeah, that helps.
That would do it.
Let's go with Brandon Crawford.
Yeah, that's sort of a similar skill set there, and both have crappy ballparks. And I guess, because I believe in Brad Miller's power right now, I guess I think I'm going to go with him instead of Crawford.
That's really funny because, you know, the point of this game is just trying to figure out where you're going to end up slotting him, right?
Yeah, I think that's pretty close.
And we essentially, you said no to the guy that's one spot ahead of, or two spots ahead of him. And then there's, Aledmys Diaz in between them currently, but he's
okay,
DL,
yeah.
And then there's Brad Miller, and then Brandon Crawford is one behind. But anyways, so let's go with we'll throw a couple more names out there just to see what you say. How about Marcus Semien, Oakland?
Yeah, I do like Semien. I think God, he's got like 20 home runs too, 20 or 22.
The
A's are so bad. I mean, these are, I think this is, this is sort of the right tier. He's been more steady. You know, the Brad Miller's, his home runs have all come in like a huge bunch over the last couple of weeks. I think because I would expect more steals and perhaps a little less average, but from Semien, I think I would go with him. But I think that's sort of his range, though. I think that's
right around
his team
in there. How about Tulo? Taking
Jesus, you know, that's a good one because God, he just cannot stay healthy, and he's really been dog crap actually for the last couple of years. Dude, God, I just don't think I want Tulo moving forward, and that's too bad because I was in on him this year too.
Yep.
But I think if I'm waiting, see, I think Tulo will go higher than Brad Miller anyway. So I think between the two of those, I'm just going to wait and get a guy like Brad Miller.
Okay. And how about the other this year's big time story, and go with Story Trevor?
Yeah, no, I'm Story's going to go much higher next year, and I would be willing to take him much higher next year.
Okay.
That batting average has to go down based on that strikeout rate. But with Coors inflating it, you know, that really negates a lot of the negatives that would normally, you know, occur with a strikeout rate like that. And his, I mean, that power is legit, so.
Yeah, I was just trying to bounce up and down here a little bit, try to figure out, gauge the tier. So how about your boy, Jose Ramirez?
Is
he going to have shortstop eligibility next year?
No, I don't believe so. He's been playing third base and outfield. So, but yeah, and he doesn't have near the power that Brad Miller has flashed at this point. You know, he's more of a on base and you know, speed threat.
Bags. Yep.
Yeah, and a lot of his steals have come recently too. But you know, the sad thing with Ramirez is that he profiles so well as a leadoff or number two hitter. And they just have so many of those guys in Cleveland that he ends up hitting fifth, you know, because they have Rajai Davis with a ton of speed leading off, and you know, Kipnis and Lindor, like all those guys are top of the order guys, you know. So it's kind of a weird layout, and Ramirez kind of ends up getting the shaft. But
even though he gets on base, he should almost, I mean, not to get into too much baseball managerial strategy, but you'd almost think you'd want to have him come up the rear and be the caboose. Because you're essentially getting double leadoff hitters then, 9 and 9 and 1, but whatever.
Some managers would do that too, mm-hmm. But you know, I don't know. I guess that
reliever in the at bats.
Yeah, there's that argument. And, you know, I do think, obviously, nobody is as big a Jose Ramirez fan as I am.
Yeah.
Even before last season, I was touting him. He was my super deep sleeper pick before last season. And obviously, he got BABIP to death. And he was so young. He was only 22 last year, I think. So, you know, it didn't get much run. And then I just didn't bother to write him up again this year. I was like, well, you know, I just had other guys that I figured had higher ceilings. And but if you don't believe me, go to thefantasyamateurs.com and scroll through my blog all the way preseason last year. I liked him, but a lot of what you know he's doing is you know it's legit. Like he's got the same contact rate, same swing strike rate as a guy like Mookie Betts, who obviously is you know he's looking like a top three pick heading into leagues next year. So I mean that those skills are real. And I wanted to say that I did do some research on Brad Miller as well when I was writing for Fantastics the other day because I wanted to, you know, obviously this power surge from Brad Miller is ridiculous. So I looked into some of his power metrics and, you know, just to see if this is all sustainable. And he did indeed have a huge jump in average fly ball distance when I looked into that. 283 feet last year, which was 132nd in baseball for Miller, up to 301 feet this year, which is 35th in baseball. And his average exit velocity has ticked up as well, over 2 miles an hour to 90.2 on average this year. Hard contact rate also up almost 4%, up to 34%. So, you know, and he's pulling the ball a lot. His 41% pull percentage is the highest rate of his career. So that's led to an elevated home run per fly ball, which, you know, around 20% is really hard for anybody to maintain, you know, even the Miguel Cabreras of the world. So obviously he's a little bit over his head, in my opinion, but he has done something to get more power in that swing. And so I do think that moving forward, he's at least a 20 home run threat annually.
All right. Well, I think we've got enough of Brad Miller talk.
Yeah, much more than I thought we would ever get, which is cool because I've been a Brad Miller fan ever since he got first called up. I got suckered by the old Mariners shortstop. He was one of many that failed me in a row, just like Ketel Marte has failed me again this year. I just fall for the same guys. And they all seem to end up with the Rays too because Nick Franklin, he was the same. You know, he came before Brad Miller and he ended up on the Rays too. And he's actually been hot recently. Weird. Are you there, host?
Oh, sorry. I was actually talking and I was on mute. I pulled a Joe. So, anyways, I was talking.
Have an edit there.
I was doing some Brad Miller talking there, but we'll move on.
I'll never know what you said.
No, that's okay because it was dumb. So, we got Nola done for the season. Nate loses another bet, of course. Vincent Velasquez inning limit coming soon. E-Rod tosses 4 no-hit innings, then departs with injury. How do we feel about these guys for 2017? Rank them.
Oh, yes. So, of course, Joe is somewhere rejoicing and hiccuping, perhaps hiccuping in a rejoicing fashion, some form or the other. Anyway, Aaron Nola, yeah, done for the season, of course. Joe and I had a bet that Nola would not eclipse, I believe it was 191 and 2/3 innings, something like that, because I really thought that he was a threat to go 200 innings, which is what it was looking like right up until he got injured and they shut him down for the rest of the season because they're the Phillies and they have nothing to play for. So I will lose a bet there, and it should have been – I mean, it was a foregone conclusion as soon as we made that bet that he would get injured at some point, like when you're talking about a workload bet.
You should have threw a clause in there, like must
– If we did injury caveats on, you know, every bet that we made, I think I would be undefeated on the board. Like that's every guy that I bet on gets hurt at some point. Like Joe, you know, I haven't talked to Joe about this for a long time either, but dating back to last year, we had a year and a half bet on Victor Martinez versus Lucas Duda. And gee, I mean, who would you think would be more injury prone between those two? Would it be like the 40-year-old ancient bag of dust that is Victor Martinez, or would it be 28-year-old or 29-year-old, whatever it is, Lucas Duda?
It's the guy that bets on.
Yeah, the guy that I bet on, Lucas Duda, of course, he's missed like the entire season with a back injury. So go figure. I shouldn't have even brought that up because Joe probably forgot about it, but
Yeah, I think that one had like its own recourse to it, didn't it?
I don't remember.
Just kidding. I don't know.
Yeah, let's just let that.
I just thought it would be fun to watch you get slapped again or something. So,
well, it's looking like that's probably going to happen. Although I feel like I've done pretty well in the Mini Roto League Challenge, which I think that's over now. So we need to get Joe to tabulate the results.
Yeah. Well, he might accidentally hiccup a couple points or two on a couple guys. So
yeah, I know. He's always been the one to calculate these, so and he's always been the one to win. So coincidence? I don't know.
Yeah. Kind of just like the guy when you play pinochle, ever keeps score wins.
Yeah. What were we talking? Oh yeah, pitching.
Yeah, you're talking about a few pitchers here.
Yeah.
Velasquez. We've got done with Velasquez, I think. And you break down Erod, and maybe talk a little bit about what you think for the futures.
Yeah, Nola, just to touch on him again real quick, was terrific as far as like strikeout to walk ratio. 9.81 K per nine, 2.35 walks per nine, and a FIP and XFIP that were both 3.09, yet his ERA was 4.78. Apparently, from what I've heard, there was a bit of a mechanical hiccup with him that he was starting to get ironed out before he got injured. So I am all in on Nola again next season. Going to bet that he gets everything ironed out and he starts pitching more towards that 3.09 FIP and XFIP with some very nice strikeout ratios. Velasquez, the highest strikeout per nine of the bunch at 10.35. He's at 113 innings. And the reason that I kind of lumped him in with these other guys, he's getting shut down after another two or three starts. He only threw about 88 innings last year. So once he hits around that 130 mark, they're just going to shut him down, save that arm a little bit. 4.14 ERA for Vincent Velasquez, but he's been very homer prone this year. 1.35 home runs per nine, one of the highest rates in the league. So that's something that he can work on. I don't think he's going to go super early next year. So I think he's going to be a guy who I'm in on again. He was one of my recommendations back when the Welsh was on the show in the preseason. And the last guy that I wanted to touch on here, because he's had an injury-shortened season as well, as Eduardo Rodriguez. Easily the fewest strikeouts of the bunch this season, 7.86 K per nine on the season, 3.15 walks per nine, and a 5.11 ERA. But if you just take that at face value, it's very deceiving, because if you'll remember when he finally came back from his injury, it was a knee injury, hamstring injury, something, some kind of lower half injury. And it took him forever to come back. He missed like 2 months of the season. And when he came back, he was just terrible. He was just getting blown up start after start. First half ERA was 8.59 in 29 and a third innings. And he eventually, they just sent him back down to AAA. But he was only down there for a week or two, and whatever they worked on down there totally fixed him, because he's been lights out since he came back up. He's really increased his slider usage, and he's actually using that even more than his changeup, which was his big secondary pitch all coming up through the minors. So that's really encouraging. He's got three really good pitches now that he can use between the fastball, the slider, and the changeup. And since his recall in the second half, he's got a 2.52 ERA in 39 and a third innings. And let's see what his strikeouts have ticked way up as well. Yeah, from 6.44 K per nine in the first half to just a shade under a strikeout per inning in the second half at 8.92. And, of course, he's shaved almost a walk per nine off of that rate as well. So I think that all three of these guys are going to be guys that can maybe be had a little cheap next season. Erod, unfortunately, he got hurt in his last start. It sounds like he's going to be okay for his next start, which I think is Sunday. He no-hit the Orioles for four innings before he left with a hamstring tightness. But, out of all of these guys, I might be most excited for Rodriguez next year. Maybe not. I don't know. These guys have all had injuries this season. As I talk this out, I might just go Nola, Rodriguez, Velasquez, but I might end up eventually, before next year hits, I might take Rodriguez first, depending on how he finishes this year. If he maintains this over the course of September, and possibly into the playoffs too. Of course, if he obviously the Red Sox are in the playoff contention, so if Erod all of a sudden becomes some kind of postseason star, you know, for the Red Sox who don't have a ton of pitching, then maybe that'll elevate his price and make him less appealing due to his draft day value. But right now, I think I'm going Nola Erod Velasquez for next year.
All righty. Sounds good to me. Yeah, I was actually going to say something about value in there and chime in, but I'm glad I just let you talk it out. So good work.
I'm doing a lot of talking.
Yeah,
it's a good thing I had a full beer.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I'm really not giving you much time, and I'm not going to give you much time here anyway. So we're going to move on. I had Shelby Miller stuck in my head earlier, so I'm going to use Shelby Miller to segue into this next one here. How do you think Arizona really, really feels about trading away Dansby Swanson, who just got – we should have Dansby Swanson Day. We were supposed to record on Wednesday, or you guys were going to, which I believe was the day he got called up. And I think I could be wrong, but how do you think Arizona feels about that whole trade now that you've got Shelby Miller where, like, AAA, and Dansby Swanson's now playing Major League Baseball for the Braves?
Well, it's they're going to be feeling a lot worse, I think, come the end of the season, because it sounds like Dave Stewart might get canned and La Russa as well. So I think, is that his name, La Russa?
So the guys that actually moved him. Made the moves, so the guys that inherit the team and the future of the team and the direction it goes is losing their number one pick. Yeah, that's always fun. So,
yeah, I mean, that's even at the time, it was just such a terrible trade. Like, Shelby Miller is not an ace. You know, they paid ace price for a guy who was a number three pitcher at the time. You know, and obviously he's regressed even farther than I would have thought. I've been out on Shelby Miller.
Long-time
listeners are well aware that I've been out on him for years now. And even I didn't think that he would be this bad. I mean, he's, like you said, back down at AAA now. So, the Braves fans finally have something to cheer for. And Dansby Swanson, well, besides, you know, I'm sure they're excited to get Fat Matt Kemp. That's very exciting. But... in the minors this year, Dansby Swanson, let's pull up his numbers here. 275, 362, 426, so not a lot of power. 9 home runs, 13 steals. To be honest, not a guy who I'm super psyched on for the rest of the year. You know, like we were talking about, in basically a glorified September side salad, perhaps a Caesar salad, we could call it.
I was just gonna say, but what's the most important part here? Are we putting ranch on his salad? Is he putting ranch on his side salad, or is French on his side salad? But you're going Caesar, so which isn't quite as good, but can be appealing. Do we agree?
Like me a Caesar.
As
long as you got the croutons on there, I'm gonna eat the salad.
Yeah, that's true. Croutons,
pretty much regardless of the dressing.
Croutons and some type of cheese, because some cheese.
You got to put some cheese on that bitch.
There you go.
For sure. But I got to ask, I mean, yay or nay on the hard-boiled egg in the salad?
Nay. You keep your goddamn egg to yourself.
Oh, man.
I like eggs. I love eggs. But there's just some things I don't like.
You love them from your head down to your legs?
Yes. Well, probably about my head down to my, you know, mid-region. Just above the navel. That's usually where I like them. But,
okay.
I don't like. I'm not all the way down to the legs with eggs.
Well, I could not be farther from you on that one, because I love some.
You got to chop up the hard-boiled egg.
Yeah, chop that up. Put some ranch on there. Crouton.
Caesar is egg based, basically. So, that's enough egg base stuff with my salad if I go Caesar. But you're talking about with your side salad, you want.
Yeah, this would be a normal. So yeah, this would not be Caesar. I would not want egg in my Caesar.
Yeah, don't put no egg on that. So, well, I wonder if Jeff Hoffman would put any egg on his side salad.
that is a hell of a question. I would say yes. He looks like a man who enjoys some protein. He's been pitching in the PCL, which is the most friendly hitting environment in the minor league. So, you'd have to take his numbers in the minors with a little bit of a grain of salt, but. He'll get the call here for the Rockies. 4.02 ERA, 124 to 44 K to walk ratio in 118 and two-thirds innings in the minors this year. Another guy, and I mean, talk about a tough draw. His his first start is going to be in Coors against the Cubs. You know, so welcome to the bigs, buddy. Here you go. You got like one of the best teams in baseball in Coors. So I would not be starting him in that matchup by any means. And to be perfectly honest, he's a Rocky pitcher, so I've sort of just ignored him since he was traded from the Blue Jays. So neither one of these guys, to be honest, am I really excited about. Hate to be a wet blanket there, Jesse, but
it's all right. It's just nice to celebrate, you know, rookie call-ups, and it's nice to talk some side salad talk with you.
That's true. I'm really glad that we got, you know, the croutons. Obviously, we've established the key to a good salad
is a crouton.
Yeah, I like a little garlic crouton.
I actually wouldn't even get mad at you if I ordered a side salad and all you brought me was a bowl of croutons with some cheese sprinkled on it and a cup of dip, like whatever. If I asked for ranch or French or whatever. Or both. I usually like to get ranch and French. I like to mix those. But anyways, if you brought me a bowl of croutons with cheese sprinkled on it and my dressing, I wouldn't even be upset. And like, where's the rest of my salad? You know, no, I wouldn't even ask. I just eat it.
They don't even care.
I just assume I don't need the lettuce. You ran out of lettuce. Yeah. Just give me those croutons.
So. You know, that I'm kind of surprised. I mean, croutons could be a bar food if you think about it. They're very crunchy, pretty tasty, even as standalone little items. You suck down a beer. Do you want some crunchy croutons?
Hey, man. I wonder if they're probably high calorie, huh?
That's just bread, like doused in, I don't know, maybe they're doused in oil, I guess. But
yeah, it's almost like garlic bread. But
basically, yeah. Well, I guess it's probably not good for the breath if you're trying to pick up chicks. Might want to stick to popcorn.
The popcorn's probably got a little bit of Tabasco and lots of salt on it, so.
if you're putting Tabasco on there, that's your prerogative, I guess.
Well, no, I think at some bars, I think they do. They like mix it in the seeds, just
Get
a little bit of, you know, they're not going to put a bunch on there, but to give it a little bit of kick, and then obviously you drink, and that's why a lot of times bars, popcorn is very salty too, so you drink more. It's just natural. Smart marketing.
Absolutely. Oh, they know what they're doing. They're no dummies.
You're goddamn right. And you know what? We're going to find out if you know what you're doing here when we come back from our break.
Spoiler alert, I don't.
All right. And we're back from our great sponsor message there. I'm not sure which one we got thrown in there. Probably something about Geico or Burger King.
I hope it was some more hair cream for Joe.
Hair cream, yes. So we could get some hair cream ones. So thank you to our great sponsors for, you know, giving us that quick little break in there, because it allowed you to, you know, release some, you know, stuff out of your nose and get another drink. And
yes, that's what we're calling it. I was actually masturbating,
your nose is nicknamed. Your penis is nicknamed nose.
Right, that's what I call it. Is my nose?
Know, so.
Listen, I'm just gonna go take my nose at my wife. Just don't mind me.
Don't mind me.
No, but I have this. My nose has been better recently, as of course people who have been listening for the last couple weeks. My God, I've been dealing with this cold forever, and it turns out it's mostly allergies. Like, I did have a cold for a while, but so I'm like doped up on 20 different allergy medications now. All of a sudden, I'm just allergic to the world out of nowhere this year, apparently.
Yeah.
So it's been a struggle, but I'm on the upswing, I believe.
I don't really deal with allergies ever, but I've actually kind of struggled this last week. So if that means anything, so.
Anyway. Yeah, they've never been this bad for me, so must be that gosh darn North Dakota summer.
Hopefully you cleaned out enough of that nasal passage to be able to think, because we are about to pick Nate's brains. This is a brand new segment called Pickin' Brains.
I was picking my nose, and it went so far up that it went into my brain and a little bit leaked out. So
perfect. That's what we need, because we're gonna.
I'm getting dumber.
I'm gonna need some of that brain seepage to seep in on me when I ask these questions. So what I've got in front of me is five questions. Random questions. Some are sports related, some are even baseball related, doesn't matter. And what I'm going to have you do is you're just going to pick a number 1 through 5, and then obviously for the next question you can't pick the same number twice. So we're going to make that a little, make it a little bit more interesting that way. That way I'm not the one that's picking what question gets asked first. So you get to control your own destiny with where you want to go here. So pick a number 1 through 5.
6.
Oh, I got just the question for you. Okay, Joe. No. 1 through 5.
2. 2. 2. Both 2.
2. That definitely comes. Hey. All right. This is our baseball question.
Hot dog.
This is one that I know gets asked a lot. I'm pretty sure you guys talk about it every year, and I think I might even ask about it every once in a while, too. So this is more dynasty-related, and most of these questions are actually directed for me personally. I don't really care about what anybody else would want to know about.
You might as well be selfish if you're making a question.
It's more about me. So,
yeah.
But if you own Miggy in a dynasty league, obviously it's past the trade deadline now. So if you held strong on him, you held strong on him like I did. But what are you expecting with Miggy? What are we doing with him next year? Are we looking to move him early in the season, maybe in the preseason type stuff, or what are we doing? He's starting to heat up now, so I'm asking you.
So this is like in a dynasty league.
Dynasty league. If you own Miggy, Miguel Cabrera, what are you doing with him? What are your plans for him?
If you want to get full value for him, I would say probably sell this off season. We are starting to see a little bit of the decline in Cabrera. He's struggled a bit against lefties. Like you said, he's come on recently against left-handed pitching though this year. Well, I guess his weighted on base is up to 359 now. So Jesus, he's had a good couple of weeks, because I looked at that just a few weeks ago for DFS purposes, and it was really low.
Were you looking at Bartolo Colon's weight on base?
Bartolo? Wasn't that the dog in Gone with the Wind? What the hell is that?
Toto was the dog in Wizard of Oz.
I couldn't think of the name of the movie, so I just I was like, Tornado, Wind, Gone with the Wind.
I'm going to write the movie Gone with the Wizard of Oz. We're going to have a dog in there called Bartoto.
Bartoto Cologne.
Yes.
Perfect. Yeah, no, I mean, that's Jesus. Yeah, he has really come on lately. Let's look at these splits here. Second half, first half. Yeah, pretty even walks and strikeouts. OPS, yeah, like 200 points higher. First half OPS, 878. Second half, 1,084. That's much more Miggy-like. You know, and he's 33. Obviously, probably the best player in the league for a while. So I do think that he will age gracefully. With this hot streak, that makes me a lot less nervous. You know, I needed to see this from Miggy, to be honest, to keep me from, putting him sort of in the Andrew McCutchen mold of the guys who are, you know, really struggling, especially this year. Like McCutchen, he... I don't really see him having a hot streak like that. He doesn't have the power, obviously, that Miggy does, but he's not stealing bases either. So I think McCutchen is just a dude who, you know, we were out on this year, this preseason even. Obviously, that was a right call. So I'm going to be down even further on him next year. Yeah, I wouldn't be too worried about Miggy for another 2 years. But then, you know, once he hits like 35, then you're looking at Albert Pujols territory, like a current day Albert Pujols as far as trade value goes. You know, you're going to see a decline from him at that point. And obviously you're getting a lot less for Pujols right now than, you know, it would be for me
2 or 3 years ago too. So,
perfect. Yeah, so I would see probably the power dissipating a little bit, but I don't ever see him hitting below, you know, 280, 290, even in the waning years of his career. He's just such a tremendous pure hitter.
I'll make sure I take some notes when I re-listen to this podcast.
There you go.
All right. I need a number 1 through 5, not 2.
1.
1. Oh, this one's one of my favorite.
Because those are my favorite two ways to go to the bathroom, number 1 and number 2.
Number 2 first, right?
Sure. And number 1 always follows.
Yeah, that's sometimes at the same time. if Jedis are real and being good is dumb, which evil Jedi character would you want to live your life as?
Oh, my God.
So you got Darth Vader, you got Darth Maul, you got Rai Ken, you got the Emperor, the list just goes on and on. Those are the more, you know, mainstream popular ones, but there's tons of them out there, so...
I think I'm going to go with what it sounded like you said, and that's Garth Vader.
Garth Vader?
Yeah, that's. I mean, that's Darth Vader, except the personality of a guy who just really loves to party, and he loves, like, 80s metal.
Like, Garth. I thought you meant, like, he's the medium brother of Darth. Like, he's not full-on evil. He doesn't just go killing kids no. and stuff.
This is Garth Algar personality with Darth Vader evil.
Okay.
But he's Darth Vader outfit, but with long flowing mullet hair. And he really likes to party. And he's actually
party.
Like he's really evil, but he's a lot more introverted.
So he keeps himself.
I mean, you want to talk about the awkward guy at the party, it's Garth Vader.
It's Garth Vader, but he's there.
And yeah, he's there.
He's usually too doped up and too drunk to actually harm anybody with his evil powers.
Right.
But you know, he's like, every once in a while, he's like, watch this shit. And he, like, picks the whole keg up, turns it upside down, and then, like, makes the keg stand while he drinks out of it, you know?
So he gets the babes, you know?
Yeah. All right, well, I think most of the evil Jedis get the babes at some point.
Well, yeah, they can use the Force to just, like...
You will sleep with me.
Yeah, I was going to get really evil there, but I'm just going to stop myself and let's move on. Might be the first time I've ever censored myself on this podcast.
That's a good idea. Now I need you to pick. It is. Now I need you to pick a number 3, 4, or 5.
Let's go number 5, which is my third favorite thing to do in the bathroom.
Number 5. Johnny 5. This one is football.
Just saw him recently.
I listen to Johnny 5. Nice.
He's with Manson in Chicago. Terrible show, by the way.
Boo. Okay.
Manson one was. He was like just wasted, had his back to the crowd the whole time.
What he's doing.
No, right. Very not recommended to go see Manson live.
Not anymore, huh?
No.
Okay. All right. Well, here's my. Here's actually how I phrase the question. Tell me you love
Amazing.
David. Tell me you love David Johnson, and why? If not. Why? Where are you drafting? Maybe it's time for a football dude feud.
Oh my.
We'll see. We'll see about the dude feud. I want to see where you're at here and how much you if you make me passionate or if I agree with you we're not going to dude feud, but if we don't agree then we're going to dude feud.
Well, I do feel as though we've been passionate already. We're making sweet passionate vocal love over Skype.
We have.
Creating a baby podcast. One second while I sneeze.
While you sneeze, I will talk about David Johnson. He plays for the Arizona Cardinals. He is a running back. He is one of the hottest names in football right now. People are talking about him. You either love him or you hate him. So what does Nate think?
Yeah, sorry about that. Obviously, allergy is still winning to a certain extent. It's been tough. But, I'm on the negative side of the David Johnson. I think that his ADP right now is ridiculous based on just a handful of games that we saw from him. I mean, I do think that the dude is talented, but to be taking him on the back end of the first round right now, I actually – he went first overall in the mock draft that I did for Fantasy Alarm's mock draft army this week. And obviously that's probably not going to happen in any real leagues. Maybe this guy just was the brother of David Johnson or something.
But. I've seen him go in the first half. I mean, I think he gets a bump in PPR, but in the back end of a first round, a PPR league, that's where I take him. And if he's there in the middle of the second round, yeah, but I mean, I guess maybe I'm really, really, really high on Peterson and Gurley this year, and I am not high on any other running back. I would rather wait on running back, maybe not go no running back, but all the leagues that I've done so far and all the drafts I've done, if I go in the no running back strategy, I'm still landing such awesome value. And I think I got like C.J. Anderson recently in like the sixth round of a 12 team, I think it was. God, it was way back there.
That had to have been a PPR.
It was PPR, but yeah. It might have been fifth round. I might be exaggerating. I'll have to look it up here in a second.
Yeah, that would be pure insanity in a standard
But
league.
It was unbelievable where, what the no running back strategy can get you and land you. But I just don't see the love for David Johnson. I don't mind him. I think, like you said, a PPR, if I'm at the in a turn of a PPR league draft, I might take him there, but there's no way I'm taking him in the top half of the first round. I just can't see it. So
yeah, and he's one of those guys who like to go east and west a lot. Last year we saw in his limited sample, and break a lot of runs to the outside, and that's something that defenses can really adjust to and clamp down on. We saw what happened with Devontae Freeman halfway through last year when defenses sort of did that. They took away the outside from him, and all of a sudden, guess what? He's not a huge guy, and he would get stuffed up the middle, and we saw his yards per carry and overall effectiveness just really tank in the second half. So, yeah, I just think that Johnson Edwards is getting drafted way too high. I'd rather have Ezekiel Elliott myself.
I won't draft a rookie running back. Not in the first round, anyways. That's just my philosophy.
Why?
I like to stay away from that.
Because they're a rookie and you haven't seen it yet.
Exactly. I need to see something. I have no idea if they're gonna.
I just think
Melvin
this
Gordon it, me. Todd Gurley last year. Granted, he didn't play the first how many games, but I mean, if he'd have played all season last year, I think maybe. I would have took the risk on him, but I still don't know if I could have. So,
and I see Elliott landing sort of in between those two scenarios, because with Gordon, we saw, the Chargers had the worst offensive line in football last year, and they just turned into a huge passing attack. So even, and then he fumbled a lot to put salt in his own wound and put his ass on the sidelines. And then, like you said, Gurley, huge, huge Adrian Peterson-like talent on a crappy offense. So I think if you put the talent
can catch a ball though.
Gurley. Yeah, can. Yeah, and Ezekiel Elliott can too. So yeah, there's that. And then you stick a talent that's closer to Gurley's than Gordon's, I think, behind the best offensive line in football in a high-powered offense with absolutely no defense, where they're going to be having the ball a lot and running a lot of plays this year. I love me some Zeke.
Yeah, I'm not going to say I'm just not going to take him. I'm not going to tell someone they're an idiot for taking him, because I understand it. I just don't like to take – I don't like to put a lot of value in that rookie, especially a first-round pick.
Yeah, well, and I would say that, his ADP, I believe, is somewhere around the turn between the first and second rounds. And I really wouldn't want to take him much higher than that, just because there are some workload concerns. I don't think that they should give him more than 15 to 20 touches a game, and I don't know if they will either.
In a recent PPR draft that I just completed in a slow email league that I did, Elliott went 12th overall at the turn, obviously, and then David Johnson went number 3 overall, which blew my mind. He went over, in a PPR draft, he went over the likes of Odell Beckham, DeAndre Hopkins, A.J. Green, and then the next two after, then Peterson and Gurley went 7 and 8 in that league. So it blew my mind. I was the number 2 pick in that league, and I took Julio. So I was more than happy. I actually went one wide receiver in that league. And I did lie. I forgot. I did draft. I was thinking I drafted a tight end in the fourth round. I thought I went Reed, but I lied. I went C.J. Anderson, 4.11. So 47th overall with my first running back. And
yeah, okay. Yeah, that makes more sense.
Doesn't bother me at all. So anyways, We'll skip the dude feud just because we're both agree. I was hoping we would disagree, and then we would do a dude feud, and then I would throw some names at you, and we would argue. But I think since we agree, and we argued more about Elliott than anything, I think we're done with football. So you need to pick a number 3 or 4.
Number 4.
Oh, man, this is the best question.
You'll never know what I pick next, though.
Yeah, I'm not even going to let you pick. But this is my favorite question. If ketchup and mustard are peanut butter and jelly, which one is which and why?
Wow.
We're getting deep on this week's Nasty Cast.
Yes. Nut deep. Peanut butter deep.
Peanut butter deep.
I mean, my knee-jerk reaction is to call the mustard the peanut butter because of the similarity in color, sort of, and the red ketchup and the red jelly or whatever color jelly you prefer. So I guess, obviously, they taste nothing alike. Although I would say, versatility-wise, I think the ketchup is more widely used and the peanut butter is more widely used, you know, than the jelly and the mustard.
Now you're talking my language. That's
yeah.
I would say ketchup and peanut butter, because I think I'm not a big mustard guy, so I like ketchup more, and I like peanut butter more than jelly, and that's where I would go. One can exist without the other, but I'm not a big peanut jelly guy without peanut butter, and I sure the hell ain't putting mustard on something without ketchup. So I think we agree, man. We need the contrarian view.
That's the right answer, though. I mean, you asked the question, there was a correct answer, and that is it.
And you answered it, and I agreed. So we're going to move on. This one hits me deep. This is personal. I've spent a lot of change over the last couple of weeks because I got into DFS, MLB DFS, because I've been itching so bad to get back into it for my big break. And I put some money in my account, you know, putting it in there. So I had some extra money sitting around where I was going to throw it in my account and get it ready for, you know, the football season here. And obviously I'm losing all the time. So I spent way more than I wanted to. So I need you to advise me. What do I do? Do I just quit? Do I, you know, they take advantage of the whole lock your account thing for 2 weeks? What do I do? Tell me, Nate.
If you're not, like, spending a lot of time, you know, with your lineups, it's almost not worth it. It's really hard to be successful, I've found anyway, in, you know, DFS. You can get lucky and whatnot, but, I mean, you really have to know hitters' platoon splits, pitchers' platoon splits. You know, I guess there's the batter versus pitcher argument, too. I don't really take too much stock into that except for in the most extreme circumstances. But the really crappy thing, I mean, you have to spend so much time on it to be successful. And you know,
not
then you
only
get,
that, then you have to look up the frickin' weather forecast.
That's what I was going to say, too, yeah. And then you get the night where everything clicks except one game ends up getting rained out. And you get screwed out of a pitcher or something like that. Or you have, like, what happened to me the other night when, I mean, not that Tyler Anderson was doing very well anyway, but he got ejected in the third inning on a bullshit, you know, #ump show ejection. So, you know, three innings from your pitcher, you're screwed. It doesn't matter how good your hitters are. You're pretty much toast that night. Yeah. So, I mean, just right there, I'm like, well, there goes my money. So
that's where I will say that anybody who says that DFS has nothing to do with skill should look at me play baseball, because I can pick good names. I know enough about good names. I just don't know the, you know, the splits and things like that, platoon splits and all that good stuff. But I know the names. I know how to spot value because I play enough football and NBA where I know how value and how you perceive value can be taken and things like that. How you can find a cheap guy that came off an injury or a recent call up, you can take advantage of guys' hot streaks before the logarithms catch up and their price goes up. You know, you can also do the reverse of that, where a guy's been cold for a while, so their logarithm has dropped their price big time in a few day span, and you take them while they're cheap. You know, and things like that. So I mean, I kind of know how to analyze that stuff, but
it really sucks to find out of it too. I mean, the when you have the tournaments that are 150 max entry, and you have a lot of guys that are putting in 150 entries, you know, versus your one or two or whatever. So you really have to search for those ones that are like max entry three, to sort of weigh the odds against you of actually taking down a tournament. You know, if you play cash games every day, you should be able to come out ahead in the end, especially if, you know, like I said, you know, your splits and if you stay at it and stuff like that. But I just, for me personally, I get so much more joy out of building a tournament lineup and, you know, picking some stacks from here and there and just hoping to put in $3 and come away with, you know,
12,
7 grand or something, like, you know, whatever it is. Yeah.
I was going to say $12. And also, I'm excited, but.
Yeah, well, and it's so fun, too, like trying to find the optimal matchup and then also be contrarian at the same time so that you don't have, you know, all the same plays as 20 other guys. You got to find those one or two players that are really under-owned that still do have a good matchup that just totally hit. if you're ever going to place anywhere. So that much is fun, and there's nothing like the thrill of, you know, seeing yourself way up in the standings, which you've had more experience, you know, playing daily NBA than I have certainly playing MLB or NFL.
Yeah, I've had some times where I've had multi thousands of dollars slip away in just a matter of like the last 3 minutes of a game, which it sucks, but it's just so fun to know that you were right there.
I know.
Like there was one time, not to get in brag or anything like that, and not to get too lengthy in the DFS talk here, but there was one night where literally a rebound put back by Anthony Davis, like he did it, but then they called a foul, and the dude that was shooting the ball went to the free throw line. Like they I was watching the game live, and the whistle came as he was dunking it, and that rebound dunk, like 3.5 more points, was like the difference of, I think, like $600 or $800 or something like that. And there, there was also one time when I was winning like $1,500, and there was 12 seconds on the clock, and Blake Griffin had the ball, and he was dribbling. This was in the, this was a Clippers Spurs playoff game, and all he had to do was like dribble out the ball clock and shoot his shot, and the game probably would have been over. But instead, he turned it over, and the Spurs go down and make, you know, make an N1 or whatever and tie the game, and it goes to overtime, and then I won, you know, like $25-$50 or something. I mean, it would literally, game would have been over, and I won $1,500, and it went down to I end up losing a bunch of points because all I had was like two guys to, you know, people who stacked that game or whatnot. So but the, I will say the thrill of that is so much better than the reverse of when you play a cash game or 50-50 and you have a lineup that just goes off, and that's all you played. That is, you played like a $4 double up or a $5 double up, and then you have a lineup that, you know, scores 50 points more than what you expect. You go off for like 395 in an NBA DFS competition on FanDuel, and you win $10 when you, if you'd have put it in a tournament, you're looking at literally like 40, 50 times what your buy-in was. So, I mean, that's, I would rather have the chance of looking at that fact that I was winning that, sweating it out, and the thrill of, you know, it sucks, and you have that sweating out feeling, but I'd rather have that than the reverse of playing that cash game, and not that you shouldn't play cash games, because I think in MLB that would be the way to go, because there's so much variance, and especially for a guy like me, I should just stick to the $2 double ups and call it a day. But I struggle with that.
You are going to lose a lot in daily baseball, for sure.
Okay. Well, let's take another quick break. We're going to come back with our top 5 Olympic bubble sports, and then we're going to be done for the week.
Welcome back to the Nastiest of Casts. I've snagged the reins back from Jesse. He didn't want to relinquish them. He bit me.
I think their listeners thank you for that. Get that guy out of control.
You were out of control, that's for sure. But we're going to talk about, this was your baby though, so maybe you should be the one introducing it. You came up with this idea, the top 5 Olympic bubble sports. So do you want to explain to the fine folks out there exactly what that means?
Essentially, these are the events, the sporting events that are right on that bubble. So like they should actually be events in the Olympics, but they're not
like baseball.
Quite there. Damn it, you took my number 5. I literally started off with that, so we'll just go right in there. So, for example, we have baseball, which I actually took as my number 5 because I like to throw at least one serious, you know, kind of funny one in there. So, baseball is not an Olympic sport, and it probably should be. Used to be. I think it's coming back in 2020, but
I think you just made up a word, the Ain Olympics.
The Ain Olympics.
Ain Olympics. Yes. The Anal Olympics.
The Anal Olympics. Not to be confused with the Beer Olympics? No. Not to be... I'll figure it out. It sounds like something. I'll let you think of your number 5. I think we got the gist of the explanation here. So.
Sure. Yeah, no, it is stupid, some of the shit that they have in Olympics that... and then baseball is not an Olympic sport. Ain't Olympic sport, sorry.
Ain't Olympics.
So, like I said before, I mean, all of mine are very serious, much like your number 5. My number 5, beer pong. I mean, seriously, if you can have synchronized swimming, then you can have beer pong.
I wish I'd have thought of that. I would have just put all the games in Beer Fest on here, and we would have called it a day. Yeah. So, yes, good call. My number four is we have all these other water sports, and we have sand volleyball and regular volleyball. So why not water volleyball? And then actually take that step further, if they don't want to do water ball, I don't know. I originally was thinking gutter ball. Then I was like, well, no one's going to understand what gutter ball is. But do you know, like with outside pools, a lot of times they have like gutters inside the pool, you know? So we used to play a game growing up called gutter ball, and you took this little ball and you tried to throw it in the gutter on the other side of the pool, which is actually kind of hard to do, man.
Yeah, that sounds challenging.
On top of that, you have defenders, like, so you play against each other and you kind of play as a team, but you know, you don't really advance the ball, so it's kind of like water polo that way, where you can't just run off with the ball, but you can throw it to each other, and there's tackling, and anytime the ball isn't caught by somebody, it's a you swim as fast as you can, and as soon as you get it, now your team has possession, and you basically have to pick it off in the air, or, you know, disrupt the throw to a teammate, or, you know, trying to throw that thing in there, and it is really hard to do, so... you have a goalie and everything. So I either say water volleyball or gutter ball.
Nice. Interesting. Yeah, that's gutter ball sounds sort of like poor man's water polo. You know, like if you don't have a net with you, you could play.
But you're throwing it in a gutter, which is a lot smaller than a net.
Yeah, even harder. So, yes. Interesting. My number four, even more serious than number five, an Olympic sport where you throw food in the air and catch it with your mouth.
That's I like that one. That's
yeah, so you take, you know, grapes or whatever have you, and see them. How far you. Of course, points are height. Awarded based on the height. Yeah, the you
style.
Can do it. Style. Yeah. If you do it with your eyes closed, you know that could be a bonus. Twirl.
Yeah. No, I like that one. I was actually thinking of like competitive eating too. How many Nathans you can throw down in your mouth?
Oh my god, you just spoiled one.
Oh man. Right.
My next one is competitive eating.
That was my honorable mention. My bad.
Oh, perfect. Okay, well, I'm glad we're on the same page then.
So my number three is the old video game, except for not in video game format, but in real life, Cruisin' World, where you just drive through the Australian outback at high speeds and you race through whatever, how many miles, and you have like a race every night. And, you know, so as soon as you're done racing, you load up in a plane with your car and you fly to some other area in the world and you race, just like in a video game.
And of course, everybody has supercars.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And you double pump the gas pedal, you do a flames come out the back, and you
of course,
just soup up your vehicle somehow that way. So,
right, yeah. As I said, my number three was competitive eating. Yeah, so least, we can
at least it wasn't your number one.
No. But I mean, there would be much discussion, of course, especially based on the different countries that would partake in the competitive eating as to what the food would be.
Exactly.
I
think the host would be able to choose what food you ate.
I like that. Yeah. So then, Rio de Janeiro, would it be tacos?
Maybe. I don't know. It's south of us, so they must be tacos, right?
Sure. Somebody is going to send us a hateful email on that. Like, you guys are so racist. They don't eat tacos. They eat lambs or something.
How is saying someone eats tacos racist? I love tacos.
I don't know. Maybe they think we're calling them Mexicans.
Oh, okay. Well, they are south of us. So, yes. Fruit Ninja is my number two. So not like the iPad game, but like real life Fruit Ninja. So everybody's got katanas and swords, and you're literally
throwing
fruit at you. Watermelons and cantaloupe and apples and oranges, and you just slice that shit. And you obviously go for consecutives, and every once in a while they throw you another sword, and you have to like, they throw you like a watermelon in the air, and you have to like slice it like a million times while it's in the air.
Yeah. Have you ever seen the Australian commentators?
James was showing me the other day, so I need to like, it was, we were out in a public place, so I didn't really feel comfortable, and he had a blasting, so I was like, dude, let's just mute this. I'll look it up later. So
yeah, they're incredibly vulgar and also hysterical. They did one for the Olympics already, but yeah, just go, if anyone out there in podcast land is unfamiliar, just go to like the Australian commenters on YouTube or something like that. I'm sure it'll come up. I just imagine them commenting, you know, commentating on all of these ridiculous. I want to do my Australian impression, but I can't do
Oh, crikey! I just got hit in the face with a watermelon. Somebody get that guy a Foster's.
Yeah, I can't even mimic them without dropping 100 F-bombs making this edit really hard for you, so I'm just going to not do it.
I appreciate that. I mean, it's a Friday night. I got better things to do.
Yeah, I mean, we've got beer to drink.
Yeah.
So, and actually, I've got writing to do. And I haven't got drunk yet when I'm writing. I should do that just to see what comes up. Anyway, my number two, you know, I mentioned synchronized swimming earlier. I think that there should be synchronized boning.
Boating? Synchronized boating? Is this another one of those monkey boners things? No, you did say synchronized boning.
I did. Okay. Yes. Or at least I tried to through my somewhat stuffy nose.
And you could have couples and mixed leagues.
Absolutely. Like, could you imagine the positions and like if you did it like synchronized swimming, you know, where they do a pose and they stop in the air and then they like move their legs funny up and down for a little bit and then somebody's upside down.
It's so terrible. It's so funny.
But the dudes have to keep their boners the whole time.
You gotta have like 12 couples.
Yeah, exactly.
and it's like on like the, it's not in a pool, obviously.
No.
It's out on like the gymnastics mat.
I was thinking on mattresses, but.
Yeah. Mattresses, okay. All the 12 different mattresses or all of
them? No, I think for the full effect, it should be just one gigantic mattress that can fit 12
like
people.
Like a circle.
Boning in synchronicity.
Okay. Ooh, mine's not going to be near as funny. I don't think I can top that, but I do think my number one makes me giggle anyways, is geothermal nuclear war. It should definitely be an event at the Olympics. It's actually the game that they play on, like, that 80s movie War Games, you know. Would you like to play a game? And then it's got Matthew Broderick, and they play geothermal nuclear war, and he thinks it's all fun, and then here you find out that the actual computer thinks it's real and is going to start a war with Russia. Well, I just think we should just skip the drama there and just go right into an Olympic event of, you know, each country picks an area that they don't really care about. that's where everybody's going to target. And then it's all about defending yourself and not letting your area get actually hit by a nuclear bomb, you know?
Yeah.
There's going to be a lot of people out there that don't think it's funny to joke around about nuclear war, but, you know, I mean, we've made rape jokes around here before, so I don't think it's anything new, so.
No, yeah, that's par for the course for us, joking about something like that. Certainly, that would be, I feel like the Olympics would really escalate with that as an event, and perhaps the world would be over considerably sooner.
Yeah, it might be the last Olympics.
Yeah, the first and last event at the Olympics ever. So my number one – you still have one left, right?
No, that was my number one.
That was your number one. Okay. So then my final – that's right. You started. Okay. Well, my number one event requires a lot of skill, and of course this is dead serious as I've said from the outset. You know, when you go to the fair and you've got the little – barrel full of water with the little rubber duckies floating in them.
Yep.
And you pay $5 and you get to like lift the bottom up to see if you want anything. I think that should be an Olympic sport.
You pay $5 and if you pick the one that says the gold medal, you win the gold.
Exactly. Yeah.
And you just keep going until the gold, silver, bronze are awarded. I kind of like that, you know. I think anybody could be Olympian.
Oh, yeah.
I'm an Olympic gold medal winner. Yeah. Well,
I think you have to at least look like you're in shape, and then just for appearances.
There would
and
be
then,
like weigh-ins. Like you'd have to have a body mass index of less than 28. I think that is the BMI of obese line. So you got to be less than obese to actually participate.
Yep, and then you just walk up there and lift those ducks. And either celebrate sweet victory or disappoint your nation.
I would come down and be like, I'd be like the dude in Price is Right, I'd be up in the crowd yelling, "The green one, Nathan! The green one! Seven! Seven! The green one!" You know.
You suck. You jackass.
Yeah. Noonan.
So there we go. I think those are some good suggestions for the Olympic Committee. Yeah,
I think maybe next, 2020 games have already been decided, but in 2024, I think we might see the old rubber ducky draw for the Olympic gold medal. I mean, that might be some of the way, not to act like I'm a cocky American, but that might be one of the ways some of these countries finally win their first gold.
Well, I mean, if you watch, was it Portugal or something, their diving team, and they just, fell flat on their backs every time. That was hysterical. I forget what country that even was, but, why show up? Oh, my God, that was bad. That was really funny. But anyway, yes, thanks for listening. Hope the Jesse Nate show. Seems like we end up doing one of these a year. Can't get a guest and Joe dies or something. And it's always fun.
It's pretty common. So, Joe, we're going to stop saying that Joe will be back next week. We're just going to say we'll be back next week. And if Joe's here, Joe's here. How's that sound?
Well, you know what? And get your questions in. Our next BS special is going to be on the hit Netflix series Stranger Things. And we had tweeted about it previously, of course, thinking that days ago we would have already recorded it and it would be released by now. But obviously that was not the case due to circumstances beyond our control. But next week we are going to dive into that. So if you have any questions, comments, or predictions for the yet unannounced but certainly forthcoming season 2 of Stranger Things, be sure to either tweet us
it's official. It's coming.
Have they announced it?
They got signed with season 2. Yeah, or two after it was released. So, shortly after I got done watching it, I seen that they were bringing it back. So there is going to be a season 2. So if you send it in. I'm going to do some more, and I'm glad that we actually pushed it back a week anyway. So that way it gives me some more time to do some rewatching. So that way, we can all be on our A game when we actually have that podcast, because I'm excited.
Yes, and Joe actually even watched the show, so perhaps if he's alive, he could partake in it. If not, maybe we'll look to get a special guest on. Maybe.
Maybe.
We'll see. No promises.
Don't hold it.
We're not promising anything for the rest of the season. So.
Yes. We might not ever come back.
We might not, for all we know. So until next time, whenever that may be, with whomever will show up on this podcast, may the fantasy gods shine upon you.